Well, I'd like to, first of all, thank Tom and Josh. I know they put a lot of prayer into what God wants. And I'm just so thankful that I get to stand up in front of you guys. I love every last one of you. And it's just an honor to be able to stand up and to share what God has been working in me to teach you. So we have an awesome God who has given us his word, and we heard about that, this word that is his, and he's given it to us, and how important it is for us to receive it as the word of God. Because of the source, God, giving it. And he also gave us something else. He gave us Jesus Christ. And he asked him to do something for us that no one else could do, which was die on a cross for us, go through all that suffering for us. And then he did what he said he would do, which is raise him from the dead. And that's why we have a hope. We have what we have because of what God did. Not what we did, but what God did. And if we go through life remembering that, how different would our lives be if we managed just to remember that every day? How different would our lives be? So we're going to take a look at this hope a little bit further. I would like to start with our theme verse, which is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And yeah, I just got to say, when Christ died for us, God reminds us of that a lot. He really does in his word when we're reading. And to me, I'll tell you how it comes across to me. It's like I'll be reading the word of God and I'll see where God will say, this Christ that died for you, whom I raised. And it's a drop the mic kind of time. It's like, shut up, everybody. He's done it. It's complete. It will not change. And that's our hope. That's why. It's from birth, the time you get born again, and then throughout eternity, what God has planned for us will not be changed. He's going to perform it, whether people like it or not. So, you know, if they're talking to you about, well, these things are not going to happen, you can drop the mic on them. Give them Jesus Christ, right? That shuts them up. That clears the playing field. They can't come back on that. They can try, but just teach them some more about Christ, and they'll go and they'll try to come back with something else, and pretty soon they will believe what you speak. You just stay faithful to it and don't budge. Don't budge. That's what God wants us to do. Don't budge. Trust him. Don't budge. Believe who you are in Christ. Don't budge. And give them Christ. So when looking at Paul, Timothy, and Silas in Thessalonia, they're living this verse that I'm about to read. They are the word of God being lived, the gospel being lived before the Thessalonians. It says, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. This is armor, armor that we believe, that we live, that allows us to stand against our enemy, as Ephesians 6 talks about. We can stand if we put on these things, if we're doing this, if we believe God's word, if we love, and God's standard for love is a lot higher. He says that we're to be imitators as him, as dear children, and walk in love. You can't get higher than that. That is a high standard to fulfill. And you can see these men living it. That's what got them through. When Paul was teaching these guys, when he came to visit them, that's what got them through. In the letters that he's writing to them, that's what is going to get the Thessalonians through. So they had the word of God written, which they received as the word of God. So they had the right heart, but they also saw this word being lived in Paul, Silas, and Timothy's life. Not just Paul. Sometimes we will put Paul here and Timothy and Silas here. But no, it was the three of them. Those three men were approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. And by the way, so are we. He's told us to go speak. He's given us his gospel. So what are we going to do? Well, hopefully what he tells us to do. Hopefully we will obey. Hopefully we will be faithful. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. We're going to start looking at chapter 5. Last night was... That is one of my most favorite sections in God's word. He went to the two that I love. I love it because it's done so much for me. When you grow up in a background and every day of your life is fearful because you think you're going to go to this place called hell and you're going to have these eternal fires. That's the way I grew up until I was about, well, till I was 19 was when I really heard the truth. And I want to tell you the peace that it gave me. I was like, I'm not letting nobody take this from me. After I saw what the scriptures say, and the cool part about it was God was there. Anytime someone tried to take it, he would remind me of what his word said. There were believers there that supported me and helped me through so that I would stand. And that's important that we realize that we can't do it on our own. But God has a church. He has a body of Christ. And also he has a head of that body. So we've got the help that we need. We have the word that we need. And we have been empowered. He's given us the tools so that we can do it. You can't get better than making us his children. Doesn't get better than that. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, it says, now, brothers and sisters, about the times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman. And they will not escape. They will not escape. So a couple of things I want to talk about in this section. First of all, the day of the Lord. Because even to this day, there are people that say that the day of the Lord is the same as the coming that's in chapter 4. If you do a simple comparison, I'm not going to do that this morning, but it's very simple. You take chapter 4, verses 3 through 17, and you compare them to Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. and you see what they say. And you'll see things like, first of all, it's called the coming of the Lord. And then the other here that we're going to read about is the day of the Lord. One ends in destruction. I don't want to be in that. And the other ends with forever with the Lord. That's how God is so much different than the darkness. It's like he said, night and day, light, dark. The word of God is just so much different than what the world has to offer. It's light. So you do that comparison on your own, and you'll get blessed by just simply looking at that and comparing it. So we're going to go. Let's see here. Hold on a second. We're going to go to verse 4. Oh, actually, no, we're not going to go to verse 4. I'm sorry. The other thing I wanted to handle in this section is another question that comes up is in verse 3. It says, while people are seeing peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. You got to say, is this talking about us? It says, this is going to come upon us. It makes you stop and think about it. And a simple way that you can define who the people are in the verse, it's real simple. It's just follow through with the pronouns. Follow through. Okay, so we have in verse 3, we'll read it again. It says, the people are saying peace and safety. Destruction will come upon them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Okay? Verse 4. Sometimes it just takes us to keep reading to know what the truth is. Just keep reading. Don't stop. Keep reading. I mean, there's a lot of people that have read and stopped there and started crying and getting frustrated. So it's really important. That's a simple key to getting to the truth, is keep reading. So we're going to read verse 4. It says, but you, brothers and sisters. So when he says brothers and sisters, I immediately know that they're saints. Because this is Paul, okay? So he's talking to the Thessalonians, the born-again ones. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that that day should surprise you like a thief. And I'm reading in NIV, and I'm sorry, the surprise part just don't cut it for me. I can't see the thief as a surprise. You know what I mean? When we think of surprise, we think, yeah, happy birthday. You know, that's surprise to me. But when we see it in this verse, I think King James does a better job in saying that it's overtake. Or there's another translation that sometimes is translated seize. Now that paints a picture for me. It's going to be upon them and they will not escape. This destruction is going to happen swiftly. God talks about the swiftness of his wrath. And it's going to happen, and once it gets going, no one is going to escape. No one. So these people here, they're not going to escape. It says, verse 4, it says, but you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day shall not surprise you. So that this day surprise you like a thief, or this day overtake or seize you. First thing we see, like I said, is they're believers in this verse, but there's also that they're not in darkness. That phrase, are not in darkness, is referring back to the people that are back in verse 3. So let's read it like that. While these people, verse 3, the ones that are in darkness are saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them, those people that are in darkness, suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they, those people in darkness, will not escape. So this isn't even about the believers. It's about the ones that are in darkness. Okay, so let's keep reading and see what else it has to say. What else does Paul write to them? Verse 5, you are all children of light and children of the day. He's talking to the Thessalonians, right? So we're keeping straight who he's talking to. He's speaking to the Thessalonians. You are all children of the light and children of the day. You're not of the darkness. You don't belong to the darkness, women. See, my brain goes ahead after I study this. And it gets here, I start. Just, my brain wants to go way ahead. So I will read it, because that's what we should do. We should read God's word as it's written. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. I mean, that's pretty clear. He doesn't just tell them, you're children of the light and children of the day. But he goes, takes it a step further just to put that nail in the coffin for you. You don't belong to the night or to the darkness. That seals it for me. But we're going to go a little further, just in case somebody isn't totally there yet. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. These children of the light, we're going to see what God has to say about that in Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to get a run, start in verse 6, but you can read the context of this. And then it'll open up even more to you. But I'm going to start in verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. And I'm reading it in NIV, I'm sorry. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. You know, those ones that are in darkness we just read about. Okay. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Very important. For you were once darkness. We were there one time. We were those ones in darkness at one time. God is telling us here, we were once darkness, but now you are in light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness and truth. Who wants all goodness, righteousness and truth? I do. I do. I have it too. You do too. That's pretty cool. When God gives, he gives. Man, he just piles it on. And it just keeps going and going. And it's eternal. That's the thing that clinches it. It's eternal. This isn't something that's temporary. It is eternal. Once he does it, it's done. Having nothing, verse 11, have nothing to do with the fruitless. Look at the comparison here. One is righteous. One is all goodness and truth. Now we're reading about the darkness. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather, I gotta turn the page, rather expose them. That's what we're to do. Children of light, expose the darkness. That's what we do. God has made us light. He's also given us the ability to do it. You have Holy Spirit within you. You have the tools. You have his word. We have the church. So let's keep reading. We're going to see, since we're not a part of the darkness, and we're a part of this children of light, let's continue to see what Paul exhorts them to do. And this, again, is the same word of God. It's the word of God. You'll hear me say, and I'm talking about us one minute and Thessalonians the next. It's because it's ours too. The word of God is just as powerful then when it was given as it is now. It has not changed. Same word of God. Same Lord. And we're reading about this and benefiting, receiving what God wants us to receive. You see the eternal effects of that? How it just keeps going and going? That's been thousands of years since it was written, but it still ministering to us and helping us in our work today. So let us, verse 6, so then let us, just like we read in Ephesians, we want to be children of light. So let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. And I'm going to point out that the word asleep here is not talking about, so then let us not be like others who died. It's not talking about that. That should get your attention immediately. It's a different Greek word, so it doesn't mean a believer that has died, but it's talking about someone, the meaning of the word is like you're falling asleep, okay? I listened to a teaching that Tom did, and I wish I'd written down, but I noticed that it's in the recommended teachings, and I think it said, it is safe to hear it again. I believe it's the title on it. Great teaching to listen to. He handles this section. I love the word that Tom used, dozing, because that really gives me a better mind picture than asleep. Because, you know, sometimes my kids, they can be asleep and they're like half asleep. You go wake them up, I'm up. You know, they're half asleep. And it just, the dozing part helps me to see. Someone that is dozing off spiritually, I get a better mind picture with the word doze. Okay? So let's read it. Right. It says, so then, let us not be like others who are asleep or dozing off spiritually, but let us be awake and sober. And this word awake, you know, kind of again, like my kids, you wake them up and they're awake, but they're not alert. Well, this word is more than just waking up. It is alert. You're watchful, you're alert. So it's just more than just a standard. And then sober means self-control. So let's read it again. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert, watchful, and self-control. And that's important to a believer, for a believer to be that way. We don't want to just let the adversary walk in and take whatever he wants. Tell us whatever he wants, steal from us, but we want to be alert and be self-controlled. Decide. We decide we're going to do God's word. We decide we're going to put God's word in our head because we are children of light, and we can do it. We have the ability to do that. An unbeliever doesn't have that. They don't have the ability. Those that are in darkness don't have that ability. We do. Verse 8. Well, actually, I think we're in 7. It said, for those that sleep, sleep at night. And those that get drunk at night. I mean, that's a very vivid mindset there. There's no doing of God's word in those verses. In that verse. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. And God's calling on us to do that. We can do it. We have everything that we need to accomplish that. And it takes each person doing it too. This is to all of us. Verse 9, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath. He just flat out comes out and states it here. For God did not, he did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Drop the mic. It's complete. There it is. There's no getting around it. It's set. Even if the believer doesn't like it, it's set. Because it's God doing this. It's God performing this. And that's it. There's no more talk. You can try, but it's not going to achieve anything. Verse 10, he died for us, that whether we, talking about Jesus Christ, he died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. It's fixed. The word awake here is alert. The word sleep is dozing off spiritually. So whether you are alert and doing the things of God, or whether you're dozing off spiritually. And I got to say here, at some point in time, believers, I think every believer dozes for a bit in different areas of their life. And we have to recognize that, because you're not perfect, and we don't do these things perfectly, but here's what we have. We have a body of Christ that said, wake up! You know, don't go to sleep. What are you doing? God loves you. What do you mean you're part of the raft to come? You know, lovingly. Don't go around yet. Don't. Some of you are enjoying that. They had smiles on their face. They're enjoying that. But don't hit them now. But I'm just, you know, trying to make it clear. But we do that for each other. Don't let your brother or sister walk off not believing God's word. Now, if you give them the word of God and they walk away anyway, guess what? That hope covers that too. But you would have done what God wanted you to do. Help them get back to where what God has said and walk in the light. Walk in the light as children of light. That's what we're here as a body together for. It says verse 11. We're on verse 11. Wow, that's great. It says, therefore, the word therefore, we understand what that means. Because of all these things, you've been saved from the wrath to come. Done deal. You're children of light, fully equipped to do what God's called us to do. Done deal. Nobody can change that. Because of those things, therefore, encourage one another. Build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. They were doing it. They were doing it. But it doesn't hurt to hear it again. To encourage, there may have been some there that was starting to get weak with their faith in areas. Paul's there to fill in those spots, to shore them up so that they could do the job that they were called to do. And I would like to, because there's great emphasis in this section with phrases and pronouns. Something I noticed is, it's all-inclusive. It's the church. So what I would like to do right now is simply, we're just going to read through verses 4 through 11, and I want you to notice how God talks about you, or let us, or you are all. Okay? I want you to notice that as we're reading. But you, brothers and sisters, verse 4, but you, brothers and sisters, are in darkness, are not. No, you're not. That was Adam's tongue. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you or overtake you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us be like others, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day. Let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are alert or awake or asleep, dozing off spiritually, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Encouraging one another, building each other up. That's the one body. That's what God had to say to that church. That's what God has to say to us. We're saved from the wrath to come. We answered that little problem. We're saved from the wrath to come. And we also seen that we are children of the light. And because of that, we can encourage one another. We can walk as children of light, as Ephesians talks about. Putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Amen.
Amen.
I'm done. Amen. I got no more.
We were enjoying it. You can just continue on. Thank you so much, Edith. We got about 20 minutes till our next teacher comes up, so that would be at 10:25 then. We'll see you back here.